Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to bring you up to date just a little bit on what we're trying to do in this class. The lesson study that we've had for this quarter, we decided to let you go ahead and go on your own with that and encourage you to study it. But it just seemed like a wonderful time and opportunity to be able to ask a question that, strangely enough, has not been asked in our church, to my knowledge. And that is, when you look at the scripture, there's other one thing that God is looking for, and that is that it's getting to know Him. That is life eternal. And I mentioned in introducing this series that as a pastor, I was on the Bible Research Committee in to Washington, and I sat on that for 13 years, and then as a pastor and going to many workers' meetings, never saw it was brought up by another teacher that I really respect. That there's never been a conference, a workers' meeting, a seminar, a camp meeting, asking one question: what is God like? And never have we done a survey to look at how we're coming across. How is the public perceiving our story of what God is like? And we've never really assessed that for whatever reason. I know it's an oversight. It's not because of rebellious people. It's just that for some reason, it's just assumed, I guess, that we already know that, or that it's just so obvious that we don't need to study that. And but it is strange that we've never really focused any time on that. And for those who are new today that haven't heard this, I'm just going to go over a couple things here to let you know where we're headed. I wrote in introducing this class, this is a new subject and format for our class for the first quarter of 2023. It's truly an exciting and new adventure. We are launching out on our own. We know the subject, understanding the character of God, and our desired outcome, getting to know Him, whom to know is life eternal. But we're going to let the individual lessons sort out or sort of show up as we go along what we're going to be asking about that. And we're asking, what about the character of God? Most lessons we have are dealing with man, what man does, and he has to have faith. What is faith, and how are you saved, and all the various aspects of our religion that we study about, but never really asking that question. Now, part of this class is dedicated to knowing God. And Ernie and I started a ministry called Knowing God Ministries. And we tried to find every subject that we were dealing with, what does it tell us about the character of God? And so we've designed this one quarter asking that question. Last week, and I want to go over just a little bit more, last week, the first lesson was knowing God as He has revealed Himself before sin entered the universe. What was it like before sin entered? What was God like before sin entered and before this planet was created? We will learn about Him from what we can find out in Scripture and then draw lessons from what is stated. Last time, I went through the Bible and tried to search to see any text that revealed what it was like before creation. There are very few, but there were about 10 of them, and I consumed so much of the time introducing things that I thought, well, let's get all those texts out there, then let's discuss them. Well, by the time we got them out there, there wasn't any time to discuss. And Mike came up to me afterwards and said, is this going to be your new approach or something? He said, this is confusing. I didn't get anything out of that. And I said, Mike, we'll approach it just a little bit differently and see if we can slow down and really get into some of these, because we're asking that question, what is God like? And we can ask that question, and then we can be like on one of those modern speeding trains, and all we see is this blurry scenery as we go by. So last week, that's what the subject that I dealt with, how was God revealed before sin? And the reason why we started there is that whatever that condition was like before sin is what we're going to go back to. We're going to go back to that condition of what it was like before sin entered this world. And so when we get a picture of what God is like, and this one is going to explore that a little bit more today, but when you get that picture of what it was like, and then we discover what went wrong. And when we find out what went wrong, then that's going to put us pretty hot on the trail of finding out what we need to do, what is expected of us, and what are we trying to do. And so we're looking at the bottom line. The bottom line is how things were before sin entered. And when it's all over, we're going to go back to that. So we're going to bring up some pretty important things today. Yes, Vaughn?
Remember, you're talking about before the fall in heaven.
Yes.
Before the fall in heaven.
Yes.
Okay.
So this one, we're going to look at things before sin entered as far as humans are concerned, and take a look at that. Next week, we're going to look at what caused the fall. When we understand what it is, then we can define where we're going to go. What is God expecting of us? And hopefully, a lot of the things that we have heard before will begin to fall in place and have a much clearer picture of what we're going to do. And we understand the very last days, there's going to be a message that's going to emblazon the earth. And it's going to be about God's character. That's what it's going to be about. It's not trying to force on the world our concept of religion. That's not what we're trying to do. We're not in competition with any other church. It's understanding what God is like. And I guarantee you, if you go in some of these other religions, you listen to how some of those people talk about their understanding of God. It's just beautiful. And we're not the only one that has a corner on the market. They understand God. They were brought up in a certain environment, and they were Baptist or synagogue or Catholic or whatever. But you really talk about those people and their commitment and their love for God and their insights into God. It's absolutely amazing. So we don't have a corner on the market when it comes to that. Today, let me say first, I'd like for you to focus your attention, if you're digging in the scriptures and looking at things and trying to understand this, I want you to understand what caused the fall. What caused the fall? Because it was brought out up last time, said there is this message that God is trying to get across. Why don't we focus to understand what that message is, and to be able to define it for ourselves? So today, what can we learn about God from the timing of the creation of this earth? And what was man like? What was he equipped with when he first came from the hand of God? What was he able to do? And so those are the questions I'd like to start out with. We may not end up that way. We may branch off into something else. So next week, study about what caused the fall. And then today I want to look at the creation of this earth. And through what you've studied in the past, or what you studied this week, when was the world, when was this earth created? It's critical that we understand when and why. What have you come up with so far? When was this world created? This earth created? Why was it created? Do you have any ideas that you'd like to suggest? You're ready to jump out.
I would just say it's an opportunity for God to reveal his love for mankind.
Oh, okay.
You said earlier about there are people of all persuasions and denominations that like God.
Yes.
And the role they play, the objective of their love for God is displayed in their love for mankind.
Yes, absolutely.
But you meet those people occasionally, yes. Don't you?
Yeah.
They're there.
Yeah.
And what a joy when we encounter them.
Yeah. In fact, in many ways, they may be exhibiting the fulfillment of that when Jesus says, the sign that you are my disciples is the quality of love that you have for one another. And I guarantee you, there are a lot of organizations out there that are demonstrating that. And a new thought hit me. Are there really any atheists? What are they rejecting? They may be braver and closer to the truth than what I am. Do you realize that? How could that be?
We don't think about it that way.
No. And you've got to remember something. Jesus came into the most religious world that ever existed. And he rejected that religion. What would he do if he showed up today? Jesus may be classified as an atheist.
You need to explain yourself.
What are the atheists that you know, if you know any, what are they saying?
There is no God.
Pardon?
There is no God.
Some of them are, absolutely.
That's what everybody thinks of an atheist is they believe no God.
Yeah, and that's what the term means, atheist, no God.
Explain yourself.
Okay.
Because they also are saying, no one loves me.
A lot of people can say that, but they didn't
even make that. Oh, that's true. Yes.
But what if the atheists are saying, I look around and I don't see any evidence of a God that I would want to serve? As far as I'm concerned, there is no God.
They're not looking in the right place, that's all. It's an easy out, a nice, juicy rationalization.
Okay.
So they have to look very hard.
Yeah, you're saying the evidence is there.
Correct.
Either they're just ignoring it or
denying it.
Yeah.
It's an easy out.
And there's such a thing as an agnostic. Do you know the difference between an agnostic and an atheist? Atheist says there is no God, and agnostic says I don't have enough information about it. That's basically what it is. Yes?
So the one that says religion is not mundane, and I know they're kind of somewhere between agnostic and atheist.
Yeah.
They're not going to say that there is no God,
yeah.
But they just think that, why mess with that?
Yeah. And what do you think that is motivating that, you know, we can hear these people's actions out here. What do you think would cause that?
They say they're atheists, and I said, well, do you believe in love? And I've not met anybody who said no. And God is love. So in a sense, that love is God.
Okay.
And they don't,
yes.
Maybe they don't believe in the God that's
okay.
been presented to them.
Yeah.
They're an atheist to that God. But
yeah.
when they believe in love, there's something the Holy Spirit is working with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I like that. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, Ron.
Really, to reject anything, it might be Satanism, it may be a religion, it may be some philosophy, but to reject something, you first have to at least embrace enough to study, have enough information to say, I really don't like that idea.
Yeah.
And you have that free choice.
Yeah.
You can do that. But to demonstrate or to define or to be real exacting that there is no God, that's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
If you can talk about it, I don't believe it. That doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. That just means you haven't seen
that's
the character of the life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so why I said atheism, that's how they would have defined Jesus when he came. Those people in that religion saw Christ and rejected it. And have you met people that have stood back and looked at religion and said, if this is what I need to do, and it's the kind of people that I see that I have to live in heaven, forget it. So there may be people that have looked at things and say, if that's the kind of God you have, I don't want that kind of God, and that's what I'm referring to.
That's a long ways from being atheist.
Well, they're saying there's no God they can respect, so they reject that.
Well, atheists are saying they don't believe there is a God. A lot of people can say that's a religion that you have, and I don't see it that way, and I don't want anything to do with it, but that's totally different than saying there is no God. The other one is, yes, there is a God, but I don't see a God that you're worshiping, but I believe there is a God.
Okay.
So they're making a decision between logic and atheist then? Non-religious, but not necessarily atheist?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't believe in religion?
Yes.
But you may believe there's a supreme
being,
a
God. Yeah, there's some higher power.
Or you can
hate yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that Satan's basic lie about mischaracterizing is what atheists have accepted. They believe in the character of God as portrayed by Satan. So, of course, they reject that God.
Yeah.
And I think that's all part of Satan's whole plan to deceive the world.
Yeah. So I'd like to go, and it's going to be a little bit more of what we're talking about now, but what do you understand about the timing of the creation of this earth, and why is that so crucial?
Well,
What have you run across in your studies? When do you think it was created? And does it matter? In the great controversy, it means everything. The timing and the reason why. So just jump in any time if you want to make a contribution to this. The timing of the earth, the creation of the earth, was it before sin or after sin?
After sin.
After sin. It's crucial that you understand that. The creation of this earth was after sin. Why was it created?
It was to give evidence of God's love. He gave an opportunity to accept or reject that love.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's part of it, but a teeny part of it. It is a part of it. It created afterwards. Was the creation of man and the creation of this earth an afterthought?
Oh, no. No.
Not at all. It was planned from the foundation of the earth that this was going to be created. But the timing of its creation is so critical, because there were accusations about what God was like. God foresaw the possibility that sin would come. And, you know, when you see that and you know that he's actually creating beings, why didn't he hop over Lucifer? Why did he go ahead and create him? What is your thought about that? Because if he knew everything, he knew that a third of the angels were going to fall, why didn't he jump over them? Every third one, he'd jump over, not make that one. Just make the ones that he knew would never fall. What does that say about God? What does that say about sin? What does that say about the freedom of choice? It's crucial to know the earth was planned from the foundation of the earth. In fact, before the creation, it says that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit collaborated, looking at all the possibilities. How were they going to create this earth? How were they going to create every being on every planet in the universe? It was not an afterthought. It was all planned. And angels are at a certain level, and apparently other created beings are at a certain level, but never was there a being created like man. He was more like physically that God was like, and character-wise what God was like. And they had more power in certain areas than any creature that was ever created. Why? So, the earth was created after sin. Well, what was the foundation for running that universe before sin? What was there before sin? Was there a sacrificial system? No. Were there laws?
Yes.
And there was?
Absolutely, there was a law. But what was that law defined as? Did the angels even realize there was a law? The angels were shocked that there was such a thing as a law. So it wasn't very good. They didn't have plaques on the walls and chiseled into the golden city or anything. They just lived. And they had total freedom to do whatever they wanted. But then they discovered that there is a law. Can you define what that law is? But remember, that's what we're going back to. We're going back to what it was like there. Was there a law? Yes, there was a law. What was the law of the universe? You're about ready to say it.
Well, I think you've got the crux of the whole issue. It's an indescribable, incomprehensible love of God that we just cannot understand. In my simplified term, I can kind of see a scenario way back before anything. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God declares, there's a plan A. Well, I want to create a free man. I see the Holy Spirit says, well, you know, if you do that, and you give that freedom and liberty, there's a possibility that something could go wrong.
Yeah.
I understand that. But out of absolute love, this is what I want to do. I want to give that freedom. Because if you didn't give that freedom, if you didn't create with that freedom and that liberty, that would not be a creation of love.
So are you saying then that there was a law that God adhered to, and that law was the law of freedom?
Freedom and love.
Yes.
I wouldn't call it a love. I call it a principle. Trust.
Yeah, the same thing. So this is what God said. I will guarantee that, and that's one of the reasons why I died, was to guarantee your freedom. That was a law God adhered to. What did he require or request or lay out for his created beings to be? And is there a law for that planet and a law for that planet and a law for those angels? And it's the exact same law throughout the universe. The law of life for the entire universe is based on love.
You know, as a father or as a mother, you know, we love those children. We love our children. So I want to have children. That's why I want to create these angels. I want to create these beings out of love, and all of it will come with it. And then again, somebody said, well, you know, if that happens, this is a possibility. I know we want to have that. That's what I want to do.
Yes. You see, not only is he going to guarantee that, but that is going to be part of the foundation throughout eternity. Then how is it that one created being, I said this last time, one created being had a thought and started this entire great controversy? And what is going to guarantee that that will never rise up again? God created this world after sin, because sin was based on a question about what he's like. That was the basis of that sin. What is God like? We are told that the belief that the devil tried to get everybody to believe, that God is severe, God is arbitrary, God is vindictive, God is exacting. God is not forgiving. God is not love. He is self-centered, self-serving. Some people look at the great controversy that it's over when finally, like people wrist wrestling, finally God has put everybody on their knees. He overwhelmed everybody. Well, that's not it. Those accusations, God could have sat down and said, let me state to you what I'm really like. But how good are words? The accusations are words. And if God controverted that, if God discussed that, it would just be a whole group of words. The accusations were made. This earth was created to demonstrate the character of God. The entire purpose was to demonstrate the character of God and to reveal what sin is like. How can you sin if you don't have any laws? There was this one law, and that we all live to bless others, called the cycle of life. And for the first time, one creature wanted it all to be about him. And God did reason with him. We're told that he went to him 3 times. And also prove to him that if he saw what God was trying to do, he'd leave him right where he was. But 3 times, and 2 times, the devil agreed with him and said, you are right. Next week, we're going to look into what happened in the mind of Lucifer. What I want to focus on now is the reason for this creation of this earth. Everything the devil stated, God could have sat down and talked to everybody. He wouldn't do that. He says, I'm going to demonstrate. And the devil said, you're self-centered. You're selfish. You're unloving. So God created man in physical qualities, in character qualities, and in ability qualities. Now, how can that be? When man came from the hand of God, he was an exact duplicate of what God looked like. And his character was what God was like. And this is the only part of his creation that God gave one of the qualities that no other being had, and that God put into the hand of man the power to create. We can create in our own image. And God established this earth and said that there would be a testing time, that as this argument was presented. Now, why did God put a test on this earth? And what was that test? Well, we all know it was that tree. Why did he put that tree there? And remember, God gave them everything, and God himself planted the Garden of Eden. He designed everything in there. Special garden for them. And he was going to let them go on and create, and actually create this earth into one large Garden of Eden. That's what the plan was. Started out with a small garden to dress it and keep it, and they would just keep improving, improving, and this Garden of Eden would spread throughout the entire world. And he gave them the power to create. Why is that so? Why did he do that? God, it said that God is severe. God is arbitrary. God is vindictive. God is exacting. Unforgiving. Unloving. So God gave human beings all of the qualities that he had and gave him the ability to create. And one test. Why did he do that test? From what you understand, why the tree of God, knowledge of good and evil? And was this the only place where that tree was put? That tree of knowledge of good and evil was placed on every planet in this entire universe. And it was the only place where the devil could approach any planet, any being. It was the only place he could assault or approach the angels as they were going back and forth between heaven and whatever destination. But the only place, well, why did he do that? Why did he even give him a place on this earth? Number one, he didn't want them harassed every place they went to have this super intelligent being dogging every step. But he put that tree there so that the devil could present his case. It was essential. And it says that as soon as they passed that test, God would give them everlasting life. Now, was there a tree of knowledge of good and evil for the angels? Yes. Not in a tree. But the devil was going all around them. That was their choice. That was their tree. They had to listen to him all the time. And they had to make a choice. And we're told that over half of them listened to the devil and for a time were on his side. And God came and brought Jesus before them. And this is so strange. God the Father had to explain what the role of Jesus was. Why did he do that? Why did he have to do that? Why was there any question? There wasn't any question about who God the Father is. Why was there a question about who Jesus was? That's where the great controversy was. Well, I'm jumping ahead, but I'll go ahead anyway. There was a conference in heaven between the Godhead, and Jesus was included. Well, where was Jesus standing when he was in the before the fall? Lucifer stood on one side of the Father. Jesus stood on the other side, and both of them had the name Lucifer. Light bearers. minute. One of them was God. And the Father had to take Jesus and put him before the whole creation to explain who he was. Why do you imagine that was that way? Because Jesus, the same role that he took here on earth as a man. If we'd walked in the room and he was in here in that position, we would not even be able to see who he was. There was nothing about him that would draw them. Apparently, Jesus had the role of being the advocate between the Father and the angels. And therefore, the Father had to explain who Jesus was. And said, he is as much God as I am. God the Father wanted to make sure that everyone knew the heart and the mind of God. And Jesus was the one that was the advocate between the Father and all the angels. And isn't that amazing? Jesus came and became the advocate between the Father and human beings as a human being. And he will remain throughout eternity a human being. Always have those scars. Always as a human, always have the limitations that we as human beings have. So he created this earth to explain the mind and the heart of God. Is God unloving? Look what he created. Is God unloving? And they questioned everything about his character. And God's character was revealed fully. And David, this is why I really understand what you're saying. That the evidence of God is everywhere. And if the Christian church is the only evidence that there is a God, wouldn't it be pretty easy to get a misunderstanding of what God is like? And there are a whole lot of people that are not in the church that do not accept things because what they see is so objectionable to them that they don't want that kind of God, even if there is a God. So the timing of this earth's creation was critical. And the law that they had was the same law at the foundation of the earth. What was that law? We live to bless others. Law, love is the basis of it. Look in Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves together. And I want you to know, the man that asked this question was a Pharisee. The Pharisees got this man. But Mrs. White tells us, that man was so curious because he wanted to believe in Jesus. And they convinced him to be the one to go to Jesus and ask this question. So they gathered themselves together and they created this plan. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. What were they testing? Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? What did they expect Jesus to say? To quote the Ten Commandments. They thought that's what the law was. And the way Jesus was talking and the way he was teaching, It didn't sound like he believed that. So they ask him, what law, what is the greatest law? Well, to them, every one of them was the greatest. But Jesus said in 36, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, that is the law of life for the universe. That is what we're going back to. How many laws do we see enumerated in the Bible? Well, then we see these sacrificial laws, and we see all of these other laws that were added. Why were they added? They had no understanding how to apply that. Therefore, God wanted to tell them what's going on up in heaven. God wants them to know what he's doing, what that sacrifice is all about. Therefore, there were the sacrificial laws. And all the sacrificial laws were there to describe what God thinks of them and what's going on in heaven to save them. But the law that God says that once we love him and once we follow him, he will write the law upon our heart and upon our mind. And what is that law? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, Paul.
This is the most important verse made in the Bible. Years ago, when dealing with so many things involved in church and doctrines and everything, I came across this verse, and that my whole religion, my relationship with God is on this verse. Because to me, if God said, Christ said, that is the most important thing, what does all the doctrines mean to me? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
What does all the other stuff mean? If God says that's the most important, why should I question that? And whether the Adventist church or any doctrines or anything else, I really don't care about.
Yeah.
God said, that's the most important thing, that's good enough for me.
How old were you when you came to that insight?
Well, this is probably about 8 or 9 years ago.
Okay. Now, do you hear what he's saying? Is the rest of it crucial? All of those things were given to help us understand how to apply love to God, love to man. Notice, though, what it says. Love your neighbor as what?
Yourself.
Love yourself. So notice, God had all kinds of options about how he could create us. He created me where everything that goes in this body, I have to get it there. I have to make a choice about what goes in this body. How much, what kind, everything. Why did he create us that way? Why didn't he have something attached to our tail end that where we go, whatever we need, is just automatically pumped in or whatever? No, we have to make a decision. And we reflect our attitude of God and our attitude toward other people, the way that we take care of ourselves. The number one rule is how you love yourself. When beyond this, loving God, the second thing is how we love ourselves. Why did he give the laws of health? Are they important? Well, we make them important. We make them paramount. Looking in each other's bags to see what they got at the grocery store. Why did God do that? Well, he says, I don't want you eating pigs. Well, what did we do? The pigs are evil. Well, he says, number one, I don't want you to have to kill your creation to eat them anyway, but sin is going to make that something that you just have to do. So the diet changed. But he says, stay away from pigs. They're evil. Stay away from fish that don't have scales. They're evil. No, they're not evil. You cannot separate the blood and the fat from a pig. Can't separate it. The killer is the blood and the fat. Not the muscle and stuff. Not that. And God said it's best, it's just the healthiest for you. What works in your body. Understand your body and feed it what it needs. So you have to make a decision what goes in this body. God created us with that freedom. And God created us with that ability to create other little humans. It's just incredible what it is. It's important to know this earth came to answer every question about the character of God. Next week, we're going to look into what caused the fall. Anybody have any question before we quit or any comment before we quit? Now, did I do that well or did I put you to sleep?
You revealed to many of us who were raised as legalists, and we have traditionally been hung up on so many rules.
Yes.
But when we understand, like you're helping us to see,
yeah,
it is love that will save us.
Yes.
That will save others.
Yeah.
And I think one of the beautiful things I'm realizing is that even people who are unchurched, and maybe that's a benefit, they express this love freely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So God has given gifts to those people, and many don't realize they have these gifts.
Yeah.
They're in their heart.
And notice something. I keep going back to this, and I keep repeating this because it gets us back to the bottom line. There will be those in the kingdom of heaven who never heard the name Jesus. They responded to the character of God as they saw it reflected in nature. They don't know his name, and I love the description that when we get there, there'll be a sea, a vast sea of people that you could not even count. That when he says the ceremony is over and sends us into the city, that sea of people will be standing there not even knowing where they are or why they're there. And when those who know him go into the city, Jesus steps down from that podium, wherever he is, steps down and goes to those people and says, hello, my name is Jesus. And you must wonder why you are here. And he takes them down by the river and tells them the story of salvation. Folks, that's the bottom line. What an amazing God we serve. Father in heaven, I am compelled to love you. You've overwhelmed me with your love, your thoughtfulness, your gentleness, your caring. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for pursuing me until it finally dawned on you. You are the one altogether lovely. And Father, as we study about you, may your Holy Spirit be here to impress these things on us, taking us through this tour of this Garden of Eden, that we can see your incredible love. Thank you so much. Please go with us this week. And please guide us and inspire each one here as we study the reasons why the fall. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes, you.